The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Let's hope we can turn this mess around. And one of the places, the hot spots on the globe today where they are doing their best to turn it around, it's an international convention. In fact, it's the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, a long acronym, UNFCCC. Hopefully you're going to be hearing a lot about that in the next week or two. Mainstream media should be covering it. That is a gathering happening now in Cancun, Mexico, just getting underway, working to bring you some news on the Green Front from Cancun, hoping to hear from the folks at the Center for Food Safety. They are down there because the World Bank recently recognized that agriculture, something that we all participate in, that's the food we eat, contributes approximately 30%, so about a third of the total global greenhouse gas emissions that are causing climate change and climate chaos. Links among climate change, agriculture, and hunger are a critical emerging theme at the conference, so we're hoping to hear from someone, again, with the Center for Food Safety, just trying to set up an international call there, so it may take a few minutes. Also on the Green Front today, my friend Tom Watson. He is with King County up in the Seattle, Washington area. He's been working on waste prevention issues, well, as long as I have, maybe even longer. He's passionate about ways to reduce waste. We worked together about 10 years ago to come up with the National Waste Prevention Council, and one of their first issues was trying to crack down, cut down on junk mail, a big problem we all have. We also did something with the effort to get dry cleaners to be more environmentally friendly. They, you know, of course, create a lot of waste with their perk, with their chemicals that they go into putting into cleaning clothes. Also, of course, all the plastic you get, individually wrapped items of clean clothing, not to mention all the hangers. So we worked on that together, and we'll find out about those campaigns as well as what you can do to green your holiday season. Today is the first day, the first night of Hanukkah tonight. Right after I finish this program, I'll be making about 100 latkes. And for those of you who are Jewish and celebrate the event, I want to give you my secret recipe. Make some to make it a little healthier, a little less fattening. With all the applesauce and sour cream, those calories do add up, but it only comes once a year. Try zucchini latkes or spinach latkes or making them with sweet potatoes. So who knew you'd get some recipes thrown into the Green Front radio program? But of course, there is a connection between personal health and planetary health, and we are, you know, always trying to make those connections all the time. So I want to let my producer know that if he checks his email, he'll get the number to call our first guest, Tom Watson, on as we wait to hear from Cancun, Mexico. Just before we go to an interview, I just wanted to hope you're all having a beginning of holiday season that is mindful of the environment, our environment, which, of course, is the greatest gift any of us can have. Too bad a lot of Americans don't seem to be aware of that intimate connection between our need to survive on this planet, this beautiful place we call home, and how we treat Mother Nature. So I think it's a good thing to keep in mind as we go forward into celebrating the holidays, and there's lots of things you can do. We're going to find out about that, beginning with greening your Hanukkah, greening Christmas. We already had Thanksgiving, and most important, have a greener New Year coming up in 2011, assuming that we don't all disappear because of 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. We're going to have a lot of environmental challenges to be concerned about, climate change being the mother of all eco-challenges, I guess you could say, as someone called it, the great exacerbator. It impacts everything. And, of course, we see that happening already around the world, even in our own country, and that is with severe weather, with the killer storms we've had and people being affected in the Maldives Islands. For one, I had an interview about a month ago. If you didn't catch it, check it out on the website, thegreenfront.com, where I had the president of the Maldives Islands on, President Nasheed, who had just had Sungevity Solar Company install solar panels on his presidential residence because he said they are being affected there first. Those low-lying islands, of course, severely affected by rising seas. And they're saying there's no place we can go. So he wanted to get word to Americans to please get our act together. There's no time to waste, and climate change is very real and happening already in a very big way. So want to let you know about that. We have, again, the archives at thegreenfront.com. You can listen live on the Progressive Radio Network every Wednesday. My time, it's 11 to noon, and, of course, East Coast, it is 2 to 3. And if you're listening around the globe, well, you don't know what time it is, you can always catch them again. They're archived on the website. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and we have lots of things we're going to talk about today, from a lighter, greener holiday point of view, and also hoping to get someone, a reporter down in Cancun, Mexico, who is attending the convention on climate change. There isn't a lot of optimism going into that conference. That, of course, is because of what happened or what didn't happen in Copenhagen. And we're hoping, though, that with the fact that the Senate dropped the ball on legislation, it's become more critical than ever for the world to take action, even if these United States are not doing their part. And there's a talk underway about getting a Green Tea Party started. I'm thinking about it myself because I've heard it mentioned that it's a good idea, but don't quite see anyone organizing it in a really strong national way. So if you want to hear more about that, stay tuned. I'll be talking about it as we go forward with our proposals for that. And what would that do? Well, that would say we need to get green issues back on the national agenda. They got knocked off, and we were so hopeful with President Obama coming in that something would happen, and it hasn't happened yet. Nature, of course, is not going to wait. There's no time to spare. So I'm sure you agree, those of you listening to the Green Front, that we need to really take matters into our own hands and organize a movement, get the muscle behind the people to demand that our legislators do more. I was at a conference about 2 weeks ago on behavior change, climate, and energy issues. And they talked about how, you know, the legislators would be more vocal and be more strident on enforcing climate change legislation if they heard more from their constituents, that they're not aware. They're afraid that they're, the people they represent are not necessarily going to look kindly on them if they are more proactive on environmental issues. Now, I'm not talking about the conservatives, the right-wing Republicans, the Tea Partiers. They, of course, have another planet that they have reservations on, as I say, because they're not going to be too concerned about their kids or their grandchildren's future, it seems. So I am saying we should do this. We should say, if you Tea Partiers don't believe in climate change, don't believe that we have any pressing environmental issues, then get out of the way. Lead or get out of the way. And one of the things that the campaign would do is to urge people to vote for the greenest possible candidates, those who understand the very urgent and complex challenges we face and who are doing something about it. And anyone else really, and that should be a litmus test. That should be the green lens that we look at when we go to vote. So that's a little bit about the Green Tea Party. We'll also have a community organizing angle on that, and that will be where we'll invite people to have their friends over, and we'll tell them what the 10 most important things they can do to green their routine. And we're spelling that routine R-O-U-T-E-A-N-E. And of course, one of those issues would be to vote green. That's part of it. And also just what you can do in your daily life to reduce your eco impact with energy, with water, with solid waste. There's a lot we can do if we know about it. And I think if we make it fun and we make it social, that that will bring in a lot more people to the green choir, if you will. Some of the moms who don't necessarily see themselves as environmental activists but are certainly very concerned about their kids' future, they're the ones we want to bring in. Not the hardcore Greens already get it. The Tea Partiers, I don't think they're ever going to get it, at least not before the glaciers melt. It's everybody else in between who I think has a lot of common sense, and people are pretty intelligent. You give them the information in a way that they can digest it, especially if it's, you know, fun and engaging and entertaining and personal, I think we might just have something there. Well, we have Tom Watson on the line now. He is my friend up in Kings County, up in the Seattle, Washington area. So glad he is still doing the great work to reduce garbage and reduce waste and increase waste awareness. So welcome to the Green Front, Tom.
Thanks, Betsy. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. I see you found a quiet office. Thanks for moving things around so you could be with us. We're hoping to hear again from someone in Cancun in the second part of the show. But I know you and I, we could probably spend the next 45 minutes easily talking about our favorite topic, which is waste. And you're someone who's as passionate about the topic as I am, so nice to know a fellow Martian. As I call it. We seem like we're from another planet sometimes, doesn't it? Although well, there's more of us now since when we started 10 years ago, right?
Right. More people are on the planet now, but I have seen you and talked to you for years, and it's always a pleasure. You're doing such great work with your shows. And so
Thank
today
you.
We're going to talk about green holidays a little bit. Is that right?
Absolutely, and I want to be the first to wish you Happy Hanukkah. With a name like Watson, you're probably not Jewish, but that's okay, because as the world gets smaller in some ways, we are, you know, celebrating these holidays together as a people universally, and it is, of course, the first night of a holiday that celebrates oil, so there's a green connection for you right there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I want to hear about whatever tips you have to green the holiday season. We can begin with Hanukkah, since that is coming up way early this year. Whoa, we still just getting rid of the, you know, Thanksgiving leftovers, and ready or not, here comes Hanukkah. I'm going to be making latkes, as I mentioned, right after this. So it's earlier than it's ever been. I don't remember it ever starting December 1st. But ready or not, the Jewish calendar says here it comes. So here come your ideas for how people can lighten their impact at a time of year when there's a pretty heavy footprint with all the shopping, eating, overbuying, not to mention all just the packaging and the bags. And it's easy to waste because we feel so stressed out and there's so much to do. So, oh, well, you know, it's not a time of year we really got Mother Earth in mind. And yet there's a way to do it, you know, within reason, that will not make us feel so guilty after the party's over and we wake up and see that it used to give a figure that 25% more garbage is created between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Has that number changed?
We still use that. There aren't really better stats on that, but I think there are some reductions in places where you can recycle more of your waste, and I'm not sure it's that high here in the Seattle area right now, for example, or in San Francisco where you are, but many places, I think it's close to that. Intuitively, you just see all the extra waste, all the packaging and food waste and decorations, and people get presents and throw out the old stuff. It's easily above 15% for many people.
Okay, so what can enlightened people do to at least do their part to not add to the landfill piling up as we celebrate?
Well, we like to give people all different kinds of ideas. There's so many resources on the internet and ideas that people have and different ways to reduce waste for the holidays. So let's start with Hanukkah. One of the fun things that we have been showing at our booths and on TV here is a menorah made from salvaged materials. And the cool thing about the Hanukkah menorah is that it can be made from anything. And I've actually heard about some synagogues where they encourage families to make homemade menorahs, and then they display them in the synagogue. I don't know if you've seen this, Betsy, but I've seen menorahs made from pipe fittings and from branches, and I just think that's a cool thing. Do you want to describe what the menorah is, just real briefly, for people who might not know? It's a candle holder, in a way.
It's a candelabra. It holds 9 candles, actually, and the significance of that is you have the 8 nights of Hanukkah, and you light, you know, the first tonight will light the 1, and then tomorrow 2, and then all the way up to 8, you get a beautiful array of burning candles, and it's so festive by the time you reach the 8th night. But tonight is just the first, and we're having some people over, so I thought I would bring out all our menorahs and make it a little bit more, you know, more light. And so it's a candelabra, and so you have the 8 nights represented, but you also have what's called the shamash, if I pronounce that correctly, and that is the candle that you use to, you first light that one, and then you use that to light all the others. So it's sort of the head, the lead candle, if you will. But the other ones signify, of course, the 8 nights that the oil burned, and it was supposed to last no longer than a day, and that was good news for the Jews. I won't get too more detailed because it's been a while since I've been in Sunday school, but certainly the story of Hanukkah is pretty well known. It was a miracle, and, of course, we're running out of oil today, too, and I don't know that we can count on a miracle from God or any other higher authority to get us out of what is looking like peak oil, and certainly some of the problems that come from our addiction to oil, Gulf Coast disaster being just the most recent example. But I digress. Let's get back to the holidays. And, yes, I have actually been given a menorah, since I am known as the Queen of Green in my family and friendship circle. And I can't remember what it was made from, but it was definitely from reused materials. I'm sure I have it because I don't throw anything away. And I just want to mention also in the last Steve's show, the last hour, he was talking to someone about the greening of synagogues and churches around the country, the California Interfaith Power and Light and Regeneration Project being a group very close to my heart, also my home. It's right across the bay. And Reverend Sally Bingham runs that. We just had the Energy Oscars last month, and my synagogue, Kol Shofar, I'm pleased to say, tied for first place in the green building category because we just finished a 3-year remodel of an old school that was really kind of run down. We would have rain water leaking through, and, you know, the sound would leak through between the Hebrew class and the ethics class on Sunday, and very vital place to have, you know, the building teeming with people and activity. qualities, but was not very functional. So I am thrilled to say that we, you know, had bamboo floors, and hopefully we'll have solar panels there next year. But things that are a little more subtle that don't just show as much as the panels and the beautiful bamboo floors, but, you know, the energy efficient aspects and the very, you know, light efficient, you know, the light fixtures that are super energy efficient, all those things that do add up and reduce, of course, the not only the ecological impact, but also the very hefty electric bills that we had at our synagogue with about 500 families here in Marin County. So I digress a bit, but since we are talking about the Jewish holiday, I wanted to share that. I knew you'd be excited about that, that we have done a green remodel.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I guess best of all, we didn't have to start from scratch. Would have cost more money to raise that much money. So we didn't raise the building. We remodeled, and that turned out to be, of course, the first green thing you can do to not waste a lot of resources that can be built around.
People don't realize how much churches and synagogues and mosques, all faiths, have done in the green movement. I did a column about that in my Seattle Times eco-consumer column. The whole topic was the green movement in religion and churches. And so that is what has kept, I think it's helped keep the green movement prominent. It's sort of under the radar. People think of maybe evangelical churches as more conservative, and they may be, but there's a real green movement. There's the creation care is the word for it. I think you've done some stuff on that, and it's really exciting to me.
Yeah, it is. And I'm told that Steve Barnett's show last hour, they had the rabbi from the greenest synagogue in the country. So if you want to check that program out, that's Paradise Parking Lot, Steve's show. It's a great green show as well. Comes right before mine. And, yeah, I mean, this should be what we do. This should be the norm, not the exception, especially, you know, the religious community getting involved. It is about creation. However you believe we got here, we should not be destroying what we have. And by the way, we need what we have to survive. That's the big disconnect that I think we still have to overcome, that we are part of nature, man and woman, and we have a lot of wonderful living creatures with a very delicate, intricate, complex ecosystem on this planet, and to mess with it and to fuel with it, as we've been doing, is really, you know, inviting peril and the height of hubris, I would say. But again, I'm digressing. We're supposed to stay light, Tom. How can we lighten up for the holidays?
We'll get back. Let's get into a few of the green holidays tips for your average people, for consumers, we would say, and some of them are real standard, give an experience instead of stuff, an experience gift, like tickets to the ballet or to a sporting event, green wrapping, alternative wrapping ideas. We've really been trying to have some new twists on those. So we've had this green holidays display. We were in downtown Seattle outside, last Friday, the busiest shopping day of the year, and we had our green holidays display. And so we had all these nicely wrapped presents, and there was one that was in silver foil wrapping, and it looked really elegant, but it was actually the inside of a potato chip bag. A lot of chip bags, they're just real shiny silver foil. So you rinse it out, turn it over, and you can wrap a present. It looks just like foil wrapping. And then the tape, the black ribbon on the silver gift was an old VHS tape, an old videotape. People have those around, you know, old shows. They can't really recycle them. So you can use that tape as the ribbon. So that's just a clever idea that gets people thinking about reusing stuff for gift wrap and for presents.
That's great. And, I mean, you know, the comic, you know, strips and all that, we've been hearing about that for a long time. So do you think people are actually doing more gift certificates in addition to just how you package the gifts? And I think that was for a long time considered kind of a lazy man's, you know, gift, because you just kind of, well, pick any store and you don't have to put much thought into it. But I think the greener version of, you know, generosity is increasingly, you know, including gift certificates.
I think so, too. I think now they're usually in the form of gift cards, and I think a lot of times they can be a greener gift, because then you're not giving somebody something that they don't want and they're just going to immediately give it away or throw it away. With a gift card, they get to choose what they want. So to me, it's more of a practical gift. Here in Washington State, there's actually a law that gift cards and gift certificates can never expire. So that's another good thing. So if you lose it in the drawer for a couple years or something, it's a store can never say, you know, oh that expired last year or something. So I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure if California, where you are, or other states have that law, but
we do.
Yeah,
in fact, I thought it was just California, but I should have known. You know, you progressive people up there in the Northwest would be not far behind us, or maybe you're ahead of us. It's always nice to be in a close tie with Seattle and Portland when we talk about the green San Francisco Bay Area. Let's move on to Christmas, particularly as people start to think about their trees. I just had a friend of mine come up to me in the gym yesterday and ask me what my position was on Christmas trees, and I thought that was kind of funny because like me, she's Jewish, and she still was really bothered by the fact that she said, you know, it doesn't make sense to be, you know, growing trees, cutting them down for a week or two in your house and then throwing them away. And I said, well, they do recycle them, they, you know, chip them up for mulch, and she said, still, it's very wasteful. I said, well, at least the trees while they're around can suck up some CO2. She said, no, it still just seems crazy to me. So I'm going to ask you, my waste prevention guru, what is your position on, you know, real trees versus artificial trees versus something that is a substitute for that traditional symbol? But maybe, you know, in 2010, it's time to rethink that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not messing with Christmas tradition, but maybe something to think about.
I just got that question the other day, and I just did a blog article on that. It was actually about two holiday symbols. It was about the Hanukkah menorahs and also the Christmas tree. And there is a lot of confusion about that. You just sent me an article, Betsy, that said that living cut trees are actually greener than artificial trees. You can see arguments on both sides. It's almost like paper versus plastic, I think, with the bags. It's the cut tree versus artificial trees. But just like with you and I, people ask us paper or plastic, and we would say, well, neither. Get a reusable bag. For Christmas trees, I would say maybe neither the cut tree or the artificial tree. Go with the living tree, a potted tree, if you can, where you can bring it in for the holidays. My family, we did that for years and left it out in the backyard the rest of the year. And there are even some nurseries where you can buy a potted tree. And these are nice fir trees. They're just a little smaller than a cut tree, but they look just the same. And some nurseries will even take them back after the holidays, and then they'll donate them to like a reforestation project or something. There's a nursery in Seattle that does that. So that's my personal answer and favorite, is the living potted tree.
Okay, and I just got word that we do have longtime activist Randy Hayes standing by from Cancun, but I'm not going to go to him till we get a little bit more wisdom from you, because this is, again, like I said, your passion. So give us some general holiday tips and what we can think about going into a new year as more Americans are at least finally becoming more aware of the many ecological threats we have facing us, we humans, on this, you know, gorgeous planet, this one planet we have without any others waiting in the wings last time I checked.
Well, talking about energy and the climate, LED lights are obviously a great choice. There are lots of holiday lights made from LED, the light-emitting diode, much more energy-efficient lights, and the price is going down. If you are someone who likes to do a lot of holiday lighting, with the LED lights, you can save up to 90% on your energy bill. And if you have a lot of old lights because you've converted to the new LED lights, there are now retailers in different places that are accepting those old lights for recycling, because the copper wire in those lights can be recycled.
That's a great one. And moving on, Green New Year's resolutions, is that something you've thought about?
It's only the
not
first
that you
day
need,
of December,
not that you need to resolve to change anything.
I'll be lucky to get everything together for the earlier holidays, and so you can ask me that maybe December 28th or 29th. Maybe I will have thought of it by then.
What, you're a last-minute person? How do you like me getting a call into Cancun request about 40 minutes ago? So I understand deadlines. You know, journalists only operate under deadline pressure. And you're a busy guy. In addition to all your outreach for waste prevention, you also started and still run, I guess, the National Waste Prevention Coalition. That's what I mentioned before we had you on, how we took on first dry cleaning and junk mail, and I'm so glad to hear that coalition is still around, even if less actively. Not that we don't need it more actively than ever, but tell us what you're working on now, something to do with phone books?
Well, it's just more of an informal network now, and we have done a lot on reducing unwanted phone books. People all over the country, they get three or four sets of phone books. many people, most people don't want all of those, and some people may just want one set and not the others, and it's been hard to opt out of those phone books. So we're trying to work with the phone book industry so it will be easier for people. And here in Seattle, they actually passed an opt-out ordinance that requires the phone book industry to set up to help the city set up an opt-out website and pay the city's costs for this to make it really easy for people to opt out from getting these unwanted phone books. So I think that's really encouraging.
Yes, that is a sign of the times, as well as more people getting their news online and not doing what I am still doing. I confess my eco-sin. I'm still getting newspapers. I love having them in the kitchen when I'm having my green tea or having lunch. And, you know, I tend to not get to it if I, you know, have to go online for it, because I sit down and there's, 100 emails in my box from overnight. But I really applaud people who are making that shift, because it is a lot of unnecessary paper waste. Have you seen any trends? Are we making a dent in, I hope people are not giving up their subscriptions to many of the great papers, but hopefully not actually using paper to get their news?
I think that is a definite trend. And I always say people should do what works for their lifestyle. A lot of people still prefer, you know, paper newspapers and paper books instead of the Kindle and things like that. I think that's fine, and then there's other ways to go green. And then, you know, I'm sure you recycle the newspapers when you do have the printed ones.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's so many choices. I don't think people should worry about the, you know, a way where they are creating some waste, as long as they do it responsibly.
In fact, if my pile gets too high, my husband says, "You're denying the recyclers of all these papers. You know, get them out there, get back into distribution so it can come back, you know, in a month," from the New York Times to the San Francisco Chronicle. So let's see. What else? Let's hear about, is there a website for the National Waste Prevention Coalition? Because you're always working on really pressing waste issues. And speaking of pressing waste issues, I remember when I started Trash Talk at KCBS, in 1997, my news director just didn't understand why I was so excited about, you know, going to the Zero Waste Conference and National Recycling Coalition gathering. And, trying to get Americans to realize that waste is a pressing issue, that whether it's wasting precious water, energy, trees, resources, mining, metals, minerals, it's not an unlimited supply. And do you think Americans are really starting to understand why our waste matters?
I really do. I think there's been so much progress, and it's still always a struggle. But I've been really encouraged the work that you and others have done, and educationally and with the concrete law changes. It hasn't been in vain. I think things are much better, but we have a long way to go, obviously. And for a website, I think because our national coalition is more of a networking group, I like to direct people for resources for the public to our King County websites. KC stands for King County, so we have kcecoconsumer.com and kcgreenholidays.com are resources where people can find all this information and tips and just all kinds of stuff.
That's great, Tom. We're just about out of time. Any parting thoughts you want to leave us with, or one last big tip you didn't get to?
Just that people should, for the holidays, enjoy the holidays and have fun. You can do that without creating so much stuff, and you can save money, too. Bring more fun back to the holidays and less stuff.
Hear, hear. That's a great way to end. And, Tom, thank you for your flexibility in switching the segment that you were on. I really appreciate your availability. And mostly so glad you're still fighting the good fight. I don't think our work will be done before we retire, so glad to know you're still there, and hopefully there's more people behind you up there in very green Seattle. Have a very happy and green holiday season. I know you will, of all people.
Thanks, Betsy. It was great to be on with you.
Really enjoyed it. When we come back, we'll check in with another old friend of mine, really giant in the activism world in terms of environmental activism, and that is Randy Hayes. I believe he's checking in from Cancun, where there's another big climate conference underway. And if you know Randy, you'll know he has very insightful comments. He does not hold back. He's bold. He's brilliant. And he's on the green front in just a couple minutes. Stay with us.